Down at the lake on the weekend, Pasqua was beautiful, but a little breezy on Sunday. Saturday was great, though. It cools off quickly in the evening, but heck. By day, this weekend, it's going to feel a lot like summer. We got a few weeks of summer left here. Fall arrives 2 weeks from today, but you definitely are starting to see in the valley when you go to the lake, some of the fall colors are starting to show. They're not coming on strong yet, but in some areas, perhaps a little more than others. But we're getting closer to the change in seasons here. This morning, I wanted to have my buddy John Bailey, the CEO from the Regina Food Bank, on because he can share with you how his food bank and the food bank in Vancouver recently come together to share and share alike in order to help one another out and keep their shelves fresh with a little more variety. This is pretty cool. First, John, thanks for being here. It kind of sounds like the two food banks are taking the attitude of, hey, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Am I right?
Yeah, that's pretty close to what we're doing. What we've sort of realized between conversations between both our food banks is we have an abundance of sort of crops that come from our part of the world, but they're not necessarily abundant if we sort of go across the country. So for us, we have an incredible selection of pulses, grains, oats, that kind of stuff. And for them, they have a lot of garden vegetables coming out of the ground almost year round. We realized we have a lot of this and you have a lot of that. Maybe we can trade off and make sure there's more to go around for everybody.
How innovative is this plan to share? Is this an original idea or did you find it from some other food banks that have been doing it?
From what we can tell, we're the first to sort of do this sort of idea of, like, food goes across Canada and the food bank network all the time, but this is the first time that sort of there's been a real focus on locally grown product going into different markets to serve different city populations. So in that respect, it's really unique. And the other thing is just the way we're handling logistics. It's sort of like a truck goes out full and it comes back full, and we're no sort of no wasted energy or effort, making sure everything's sort of getting there as quickly and efficiently as possible.
So what are you sending and what are you receiving?
So what we've sent out is oats, lentils, some of our packaged soup product that we produce here locally, as well as some pastas. Vancouver, and what we're getting from them is tomatoes, zucchinis, carrots, potatoes, those types of things to help sort of fill up our fresh part of the pantry and help supplement some of their dry good needs. And like I said, making sure that we're matching needs with needs.
Well, that's awesome. So no one has looked upon this as saying, like, what are you doing giving it to them? Because the trades are equal, right?
The trades are 100% equal. So it's 45,000 pounds coming to us and 45,000 pounds going out to them. And again, it doesn't mean there's any less for the folks in Regina. It just means we have a little bit of a surplus and they have a little bit of a surplus. So rather than have that be a problem, we turn it into an opportunity and we think it's a way to serve both our communities better.
John Bailey from the Regina Food Bank. And still, it's cost effective, right? Like the cost to truck it back and forth. It's still worth it?
Absolutely. The total cost for trucking was about $6,000. If we look at the sort of rough market value of the product moving back and forth, it was about $250,000. So really, really cost effective. And honestly, if we're looking at a sort of return on investment in terms of what both organizations are getting for sort of a $6,000 cost outlay.
Well, this is awesome, buddy. It's so innovative. Has the phone rung at all from others who have caught on to what you're doing and asking for advice?
They are, and we're happy to provide it. I think one of the things that animates both us and Vancouver is this idea of Canada as a nation produces more than enough food to feed the entire population, but one in four Canadians are food insecure. So there's a distribution problem, not a food problem. So if we can build a playbook that helps others out and gets us going, and we start to see more and more of this, and it becomes more and more standard business as opposed to a one-off, that would be an incredible outcome of this project.
Do you see it maybe one day getting to the point where, hey, you're trading with Vancouver, it could be Manitoba, could that be happening all at once?
That's our hope. I mean, we're in conversations with Winnipeg, with Calgary, with Edmonton, and obviously working currently with Vancouver. And then as we sort of get the sort of prairie and west region figured out, I'm hopeful that we can start figuring out how it will work as we go further east as well into Ontario, Quebec, and the Maritimes there.
Well, it's great. The Regina Food Bank numbers don't seem to be going down, so whatever you can do to keep the shelves full, it seems to be working, and you're to be commended, you and the team there, for figuring this out.
I appreciate it, and that's just it. Again, we always sort of say no food bank wants to get bigger, but we're going to do what we need to meet the needs of our community, and this is just one more way we're doing that.
John, thanks so much for the update.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for giving me a call.
Dream.
And coming up after 7 o'clock, sometime between 7 and 8, you're going to get an opportunity to win tickets to the sold-out Keith Urban concert coming up at the Brand Center over the Rail District this Saturday night. And, of course, it's also the same day the Riders are back in Mosaic against Montreal. I can't imagine how the Rail District is going to handle all this overload of people. Concert, football, parking is going to be at a premium. Joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. You and I are both going to the concert, too.
It's going to be a party in that area.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder how many Rider fans will go to the game, stay, and go to the concert. There's probably a few of them.
Yeah, and I don't even bother. Even if there wasn't a football game on, I don't even think I would drive to the parking lot. I'll just park maybe off-site, walk. Yeah. For maybe 10 minutes, I can probably get out of there a little bit quicker.
It is going to be a gong show. Again, free tickets, Keith Urban, every day this week. I'll have a pair to give away after 7 here this morning, so listen for the cue to call. Rider victory, it has taken a while, but we defeated them on their own turf in Winnipeg, didn't we?
21-13, and yeah, for the first time since 2018 in this Banjo Bowl. And, you know, just thinking back, it's funny to say that because I know they haven't had great luck there, but when you think 7 years ago was the last time they won, and now here we are. Is this the best Riders team ever? 10-2 right now, the top of the CFL, playing Montreal, as we talked about this weekend here. I mean, right now, they look pretty good. They just have to beat Calgary in the playoffs, as we were hearing from Jamie Nye in the Buzz this morning.
But Calgary lost to Edmonton, and man, Cody Fajardo has become a hero for Elks fans. He really has. You know, next thing you know, they're going to build a statue for him there at Edmonton because he's really brought that club back to life. Let's see here. Well, so let's talk about some turbulence literally for WestJet and Air Canada. Let's start with WestJet.
Yeah, so WestJet flights from Toronto that went down to the Caribbean to St. Martin had a hard landing. WestJet isn't confirming exactly what happened because it says it's still looking into it, but the airport down there is saying that, yeah, there was a part of the wing hit the runway hard and some landing gear, some possible damage there. 160 plus were on board. 3 had to get medical assessment. So that's kind of what we knew now. But I mean, they had to deploy the emergency slides for people to get off that plane. So certainly, you know, a very hard landing for people that want to, you know, take in some sun. Air Canada, meantime, the results of that vote have been revealed. 99% say no on that tentative contract.
Yeah, where do we go from here? Like, well, what happens next then?
I guess the first thing to, if anybody's flying with Air Canada, it doesn't look like any disruptions will be felt here, at least now, because they're going to mediation to talk wages. That's kind of the next step in this. So where do they go from there? We don't know. But right now, it doesn't look like there's any sort of strike, impending strike that's going to happen that might disrupt your flight.
So still over wages. This is going to be interesting because I think we mentioned it before that come December, the contract is up for flight attendants with WestJet. So they will be monitoring how this goes.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And, you know, we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to that. Hey, some happiness for somebody in Saskatchewan. Saturday, 6:49, delivered a winner here.
$5 million for someone in this province. The good news there. And we don't have to keep talking about the Powerball lottery in the U.S. anymore, Greg.
No kidding. Somebody won it?
They did. $1.8 billion. $1 billion. Two tickets apparently matched the six numbers. One in Texas, one in Missouri. Do you have any? Do you know anybody in Texas or Missouri, Greg?
That is a whopper of a win for sure. Hey, I want to take a break here in a moment, but not before you update me on what's going on in Richmond, Saskatchewan. The community there, of course, waiting to hear a little more about, you know, charges from the RCMP as. What's the latest here now? Yeah. Who's in jail? Who's not?
Yeah, so a couple things. So Queen of Canada, self-proclaimed Queen of Canada, Romana Didulo, she is back in court this morning, a little bit later this morning, trying for a bail hearing. She's trying to get out, trying to make her case. Now, she was in court on Friday, and she would only consent to, quote, a natural law trial. Not exactly sure what that is, but that's what she wanted. She interrupted the judge a number of times as well. So that was kind of what's happening in court. Outside of court, the Saskatchewan Health Authority looked at that former school building that her and her followers have been in the last couple of years, and they said parts of it were unsafe. There's apparently some not, I guess, properly connected. They're not properly connected to the municipality's sewer system is what I'm trying to say there. And so parts of the building are deemed unsafe for now. So that's where they were living. But it doesn't look like they'll be living there, at least anymore.
Yeah, I'd imagine a lot of those who live in Richmond, Saskatchewan, are disappointed in hearing this story. They've been wanting this to come to an end for quite some time. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. It's 6:58. He's Keith Urban. He's coming to the Brand Center on Saturday night. And looking at Ticketmaster, a few single blue dots here and there scattered and a couple of verified resales. But it looks like it's going to be pretty much a sellout by the time it arrives Saturday night. And as promised, we got free tickets to Keith Urban today. And it's pretty easy to win. You simply got to tell me something good about your weekend. Tell me something good about your weekend. What happened besides the Riders? I know a lot of people are going to say the Riders winning, but tell me something good about your weekend at 1-877-300-7275. Everyone who does between now and 8 a.m., that's the cutoff, gets in on the draw for Keith Urban tickets. Everyone who shares the first and last name and tells me something good from their weekend, 1-877-300-7275. I'll put you in the draw. Again, the cutoff is 8 o'clock, and then we'll take everyone's names, put them in a hat, and draw randomly to award tickets to Keith Urban, which I mentioned it's going to be a little busy on Saturday over the Real District between all the everyday chaos of the Cooperator Center, then, of course, the Rider game, the Alouettes are in town, and the concert sold out. Man, it is going to be gonzo over there. So I think a lot of ride sharing will be necessary and perhaps a little walking. Park and walk, or else park and ride through all the other ride opportunities we have in this community. And of course, the Riders, a big, big conversation on the weekend. That was a fun game. It kind of took a while to get some steam going here, but the Riders won 21-13, first time since 2018. I know a lot of people are talking about how Zach Collaros was knocked out of the game on what they said was roughing the passer by C.J. Revis. I don't know. There was contact. But it didn't seem like a headshot to me. But Brett Lawther, he was 5 for 5 on field goals. He wasn't perfect, missed the convert, but still, he kind of made a statement there, and certainly positive steps for Brett. But yeah, for the third time this season, Quebec, I'm really struggling here this morning. Quarterback Zach Collaros was knocked out of the game. And I noticed TSN's Milt Stegall said, quote, "As far as Zach goes, I'm going to look at it from a standpoint of as if it was my son. And if that was my son," Milt Stegall said, "he wouldn't step on the field again." Stegall said, retire now. Should never play another down of football. Elton Johnson, I asked him about that. He's coming up a little later on, and we'll get his take too. But after the game, Coach Mace was pretty pleased.
"We knew what this kind of place was for the opponents coming in here. It's not an easy place to play, and you know, we're just trying to write our own deal and what we think what we're capable of. I'm proud of the guys just to come in here and win this one. That was the only focus."
It was a fun victory, that's for sure. And now Montreal Saturday, and at the Battle of Mosaic Stadium Saturday night, the Prairie Thunder Division, the Saskatoon Hilltops, beat the Thunder 18-15. So both those clubs now tied for top spot. That was the first loss for the Thunder this year. And the U of R Rams beat the Golden Bears 47-23 in their home opener at Libel Field on Friday. So they're on a roll now to start the season that they host the Vanier Cup here in Regina. From the NFL, you can't deny it. As irritating as he may be to some, Aaron Rodgers seems like he's in good form.
Rodgers under arrest, wide open, touchdown, Calvin Austin!
41 years old, he threw 4 touchdowns to give Pittsburgh the lead and the victory. He still got it. They won 34-32, and Pittsburgh fans love what they saw. And Aaron kind of loved what he did to his old club, New York. Because after the game, Rodgers was asked about New York head coach Aaron Glenn having said that Rodgers wasn't the right fit for the team moving forward.
You spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago. Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
He is like a robot. Definitely pleased, I think, anyhow. But the game last night was incredible. Bills quarterback Josh Allen leading Buffalo to 3 scores in the final 4. And ending with a 32-yard field goal attempt. No time on the clock.
From 32 yards, Prater made it! And the Bills open their final season in this stadium with a stunning comeback win.
How many of you tuned out after the Bills were down 15 points? And then won 41-40. Well, we definitely know who the Riders are. They're top of the league, 10-2. Joining me now, Evan Bray. Everyone's talking about our Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
I agree with you, Greg. That C.J. Revis hit should not have been roughing the passer. You know, I mean, he didn't lead with his head. You just look at how his arms were, his momentum. I get it. Yes, there was contact, but I wasn't the intent, and I just don't think it was that significant.
Now, what did you think about Milt Stegall saying Zach Collaros better just
might be done.
We don't know officially if that was another concussion, but he didn't return to the game.
Yeah.
That's the third time he's
left.
How
old is he, 37, 38?
37, I think it is, yeah. And Milt Stegall said, if I'm his dad, if that was my kid, he wouldn't be playing football again.
Yeah, I know. I find it hard to think that he won't be back. I mean, I know what a competitor he is, and you'd think if there's a way for him to come back, he will. But even C.J. Revis was on social media yesterday saying, look, I feel bad for Zach. That was not my intention. But clearly, he also didn't think he should have been penalized for that.
Now, Brett Lawther was 5 for 5 on field goals. Missed the convert, but do you think he did enough to redeem himself?
Greg,
those came near the end of the game.
I'm
going to
tell you this. I was not feeling confident every time he was out there. After that missed convert, aren't those pretty much a guarantee?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I noticed on social media, speaking of Milt Stegall, he said, it's time to move on. During the game after that happened.
Yeah.
And even Jeff Fairholm, an alumnus of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, I saw he tweeted, we got to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Lawther has confidence in himself going out there.
But he was 5 for 5 on the field goals.
Yeah, and we needed those field goals. I mean, that was a big part of our win, so you can't take that away. But I'm just telling you, I don't think I'm more confident when I see him going out there.
All right, well, take me to the harvest that you were busy at again. All weekend long, I couldn't find my little buddy. He's away again, helping his brother.
Still working on the wheat.
Do you gather, like you left again Saturday morning to go help? Do you... First thing, do you go to local co-op there? Is there coffee?
Well, you know what? I've got a buddy, Bill, who he basically puts a coffee pot on in his little shop office that he's got.
Uh-huh.
And so there's lots of times you'll find a handful of farmers sitting around there having a coffee.
What are they all talking about?
This weekend?
Yeah.
Complaining about the Liberal government.
Well, then that's a great opportunity for you to pipe up and say, tune in.
Yeah, that's right. What would you like to join the show? there's a couple of times there was too many F-bombs flying around. I was like, I don't know that I can get them on the show about that. But
well, I know you're not going to start with the Liberal government, but you are going to start with the Queen City Marathon, right? Because it was a success on the weekend, and across the hall at Zed, our buddy Wheels. He was
ironically Wheels is
not fast.
He's limping this morning. He's feeling pretty stiff.
But he made
it.
It took him, I think, more than 4 hours.
Yeah,
to
good.
Get through.
He did. He did a full marathon. Libby Gray, who's the executive producer of my show, did the half marathon.
Yeah,
had a great time. One of her best, actually. So
who do you have on the show?
So I've got Renee Grube, who's joining us. Renee has been running the Queen City Marathon for years. She's actually blind. She's lost. She's lost vision over the years, and as a result, still able to run the marathon. So we'll talk with Renee. We're going to have Wheels pop in. We'll talk with him about that as well.
Okay. And there's got to be a roundtable of justice. It's Monday.
Roundtable of justice today, bringing in traffic collision investigators. So, you know, anytime there's a big accident, you think, why do the cops have this intersection blocked for 7 hours?
Yeah.
There's lots of work that's done. Now they bring drones into it. So we're going to talk about
But how do you know? Like, I don't know if we have enough time. Yeah, we do. We got 30 seconds. If you're in a fender bender and both vehicles are able to drive out of the intersection that you may have had the fender bender in, do you get them out of the way or are you supposed to wait there for cops?
Well, if there's no injuries and there's not a dispute on what's happened, get them out of the way.
Okay.
100% get them out of the way.
Too often I just see people there sitting on the curb. They don't look hurt at all, and they're just sitting there.
And it's like a little fender bender.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You can get them out of the way.
Look at the old cop coming out of you there.
Yeah, it'll be a good discussion.
All right. It's 7:28.